Our Lord goes out into the desert for 40 days, and he goes among the wild beasts, and it says the angels ministered to him. And one interpretation of that gospel is that it represents the struggle between the animal and the angelic in each of us, between our fallen human nature and our desire for God. The desert symbolizes lifelessness. It's a symbol of sin and its effects. Now, Jesus enters into the desert, into that place of sin, that space of sin. He enters to reconcile the physical and the spiritual, the invisible and the visible orders of the world. Like they say, there's this kind of incongruence about us. Like it's been said, we have the intellect of an archangel and the body of a rhinoceros. There's this two pieces that don't fit together very well. But in Christ, we find that harmony, that peace. Like we say, you and I can soar with the angels, we can listen to Mozart and Beethoven, but we get hungry, we get thirsty, we get tired. And the work of grace is to tame the beast in me, the animal in me, through the instrumentality of angels. Like we say, it's the work of Christ through grace. Sin has set us at war within ourselves, but the church is God's rescue mission in the world. Like in Christ, we find that peace. Like one monk said that we are not at peace with others because we are not at peace within ourselves, and we are not at peace within ourselves because we're not at peace with God. Okay, and so our Lord came to reconcile us to God so that we could have peace in ourselves and peace with others. And like we say, that gospel says we're beset with enemies within and without. The wild animals in the desert represent the dangers in and around us, from my own nature and from the outside. But the church has given us a remedy, a program for Lent to be reconciled. Like prayer, fasting, almsgiving, prayer reconciles us toward God. Our conversion is directed toward God by prayer. By almsgiving, our conversion is directed toward others. And by fasting, our conversion is directed toward ourselves, toward taming the beast through the ministry of grace, the ministry of angels. So it's grace that heals and untwists my desires, so that I can live in accord with God's will. Like we say, there's always these pitfalls, these dangers within and without. C.S. Lewis says that the benefit of fasting is discipline, but the danger is pride. That we can become so good at taming the beast that we get ambushed by pride. In that movie, The Passion of the Christ, in the crucifixion scene, the crows are pecking the eyes out of the unrepentant thief. And the point of that scene was that when we abandon God, we become the prey of evil, the prey of Satan. And the wild beasts can have their way with us. The first thing evil wants to do is to blind us to truth, to blind us to the light, to blind us to Christ. One agnostic once wrote a letter to the Jesuit poet Gerard Manley Hopkins and asked him, "How can I believe? What do I have to do in order to believe?" He was asking to be able to see. And Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote back, "Give alms." Works of charity. Works of charity open our eyes, the eyes of our soul. And they say, the more alive our soul is, the more we can taste the truth, the more we can smell the stench of sin, and we can touch the presence of Christ, above all in the Blessed Sacrament. Like, I think that I have this idea that when we come into church, there's a force field that the Blessed Sacrament sets up. It's a palpable presence, and it kind of forces us to our knees. Like, once we genuflect, that force field is released, okay? But it's a real presence. It's palpable. Like Mother Teresa says, if you can't see Jesus in the host, how will you see him in each other? Faith is the prerequisite to charity. The more we love and adore him in the Blessed Sacrament, the better equipped we will be to love him in others. The more clearly we see him in the Holy Eucharist, the more radical will be our response to him. It's been said that indifference to Christ's real presence leads to moral blindness and hostility to the truth. But love for Christ in the Blessed Sacrament gives us a love for the truth and leads us to a high level of morality. And as we say, as sin has set us at war within ourselves, the church is God's rescue mission, helping us to tame that beast. And we obtain that grace through prayer and fasting, works of charity. Like, maybe the overall picture is that God put Adam and Eve in a garden, and that meant God intended them to flourish. But because of sin, the garden became a desert. Now Jesus Christ enters the desert, and he ends his life in a garden. The Garden of Gethsemane, and the resurrection takes place also in a garden. Okay? He comes to restore what was lost by sin. It said that after, the book of Genesis says that after Adam sinned, he no longer walked with God in the garden. Like, walking with God in the garden for Adam was a sin of God's presence in his soul. Okay? God walked with God before sin. But after sin, Adam no longer walked with God in the garden. But Jesus came to restore the garden in our souls, the place where divine life flourishes. And we say acts of charity sow virtues, sow flowers in that garden. Fasting weeds and prunes the garden, and prayer waters the garden. And so we're like that farmer who awaits the blossoming in the desert. Like, the promise of Lent is that the desert will bloom, that what seems life and deadless, what seems dead and lifeless, will become transformed. And so, like we say, in Christ, there is that flourishing, that, and our part is those works of charity, sowing the seeds, fasting, pruning, and weeding the garden, and above all, prayer, watering the garden generously.